When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And Debris, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling your soft lead to a success for you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We are in and we are up and running on happy day. Another week ahead. Yes. Now, I have to be careful here. What I'm realizing, listeners, is when I do my intro, because that's when I'm at my peak in excitement, I'm almost, you know, want to make my butt cheeks clap. I'm so excited that I'm here. And what happens is I go off the Richter scale and realize that our little mic there on top of my lappy cannot cope. And it actually reverses the sound of what's happening. Okay. So it goes like, it's like as if no one, like you always shout in, don't you? You never shout out, because every time you shout, you put guilt behind it. So the energy of you goes in. That's why the dogs don't listen to you.
Right.
Because
okay.
Your energy goes in. Do you see? That's what happens to that mic. It can't take a full man. When I call into it and I give it the manliness, it goes, oh, I can't manage it.
It's a female mic.
Oh, definitely. Definitely a female mic. It's got to be.
Right. Okay. But also, you know, when it starts, you see me like do this, like I screwed my eyes up waiting for the boom. You know, I think everybody that listens to the show goes, okay, we'll just do the boom.
Well, here's the thing, you know, there's a trademark. There's a trademark.
Nobody want a trademark boom.
I mean, yeah. It's trademarked. Nobody else uses it, man. It's like nobody could do good morning, Vietnam. That's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's done. You couldn't do that on the radio because they go, no, that's already done.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, the boom is mine.
Oh, the movement of the old.
It's mine, happy days. Here it is.
And you should trademark it, yeah.
Yeah, well, trademark it. You know, it's great to be your listeners. And of course, welcome to another show with Paul and Deb is here today.
I'm here.
Happy days. I mean, I managed to prize her away from whatever it is she does
my
every
work.
Day, whatever you do every day.
My work.
Nails and hair and lippy and all that kind of stuff.
You're sounding very misogynistic this morning. The mic has got to be female.
What? You said what word?
Misogynistic.
So I sometimes think you say these words knowing, see, I don't know what they are. And for all I know, that could be German. I mean, what is massage with someone? What's a massage?
Chauvinistic.
Now, just say that. You mean very chauvinistic, Paul.
Okay. See, even with this now.
It's great to be your listeners. And we've got a fantastic show ahead of you for sure. Got an amazing guest, someone I know very well. I'm really excited about sharing his whole story with you in just a wee bit. But you know what? I want to talk about my letdown for today. Now, I don't want this to be too negative, but here's the thing. I've been hyping it. I've been I've been sharing with you. Guess what? I'm going in my new office. This is happening. Well, I went to view it today. Pretty disappointed. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man. Now, I got to ask myself, would I go into this office if someone give it to me rent-free? That's where I am right now. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Beautiful office. But, you know, the view, they put a huge whole wall window in that looks out onto the heating pipes of the bit of... I mean, these heating pipes are about... They must be about 2 foot in diameter, and they're like a spaghetti junction all outside my window. What is the point in putting a window?
Yeah, but you should have asked for a sea view.
There's no sea.
And a balcony.
We're in Llandeilo, girl. Do you know what I mean? There's no sea in Llandeilo for sure. But you know, I am just about getting over this, and I'm seeing where I go with it. But here's the thing: don't take something for the sake of it.
Okay, so let me ask you: what would be the downfall? I mean, obviously it's not nice to look at, but is it detriment to your business?
It's detriment to my mind. Every time I'm going to look out the window for some kind of insight, some kind of realization, some kind of wisdom, I'm looking at these massive heating pipes.
Yeah, but then all that's going to teach you is that all that inspiration and wisdom comes from within. You don't need to look out the window to get that.
Well, it's just, listen, I get where you're going now when you're putting me in a corner with this, but let's think about it, listeners. Inspiration comes from also what you see.
I agree, babe. And I've said, get the bigger office.
You have. Deborah said, get a bigger office. Let's put it out there. Send me a message. Support at paulreesbusinesscoach.biz. Let me know what you think. Should I go for it or not? I don't know, but you know, I need to get out to the home because I'm
just
gonna...
think if you go for the bigger office, you can put your drums in there.
There was that.
Yeah.
There was that. I could put my drums in there. But here's the thing, you know, there is such thing as cabin fever.
Well, you have it in the home, see?
Yeah, I want people to know that. I laughed at it when people said to me, when the word cabin fever was being thrown out there. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Total karma, because I tell you, there is such thing. You know, I've got cabin fever, fridge fever, food cupboard fever, anything. And I find myself walking out my office, sitting down on the couch with Deb while she's on her off space, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I come to the point, I don't even like walking in this office room.
Right.
You know, it's come to that.
So anything different is going to be a bonus then?
Well, yes, but I don't want to be, you know... Looking
so,
at those.
See, let's look at this from a show point of view with people that are running their own businesses. You know, how much does your environment, you know, influence what you do and how you do it?
Well, I think we are built in an environment, and we love environment. That's where we go on holidays. That's where we go for days out. Let's go for breakfast. Let's go for dinner, you know, because we want to change our environment. But we wouldn't go to an environment that didn't please our eye. And that's exactly where I am with this place. It just doesn't, it's just.
So do you think everybody that runs businesses have got that perfect kind of environment to work in?
Well, I don't think so, no. But I also know that we work in the knowledge industry. So very reliant on the quality of our mind, how we think, what we see, what influences us.
See, the reason why I'm asking the questions is because I think it's important for the listeners to know that, you know, their environment is really important to their productivity.
Oh, it's the environment, what makes the environment, the people in the environment, you know, even the materialism of the environment, everything that's in the environment, it shapes how you think or shapes how you progress your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to say not everything, but a large percentage of it.
But
does.
Also your motivation, because what I'm hearing mm-hmm. from you is that your motivation goes down. So you go to the fridge and then you go to the cupboard and then you're out.
Oh, an emotional eater, man. Oh, I graze like a cow.
You do, love. I know. Yeah. I know our shopping bill knows that too.
We do shop for four. Yeah, we do. And I eat for four. Absolutely. And that's how it is, you know. So here's the thing.
It's unhealthy, actually, for you to be in this environment. You know, so it's unhealthy for you to be in the home, feeling cabin fever, not being motivated, eating yourself, you know, your weight in food every day. You know what I mean? So, like, it's actually an unhealthy thing, isn't it?
It is. It is for me. I'm feeling that now. You know, I've been really struggling. Like this, listeners, my desk, so I have a big desk, and it's never been the state that it's in now.
It's bad.
Oh, it's bad.
See, my dad used to say, you can always tell the state of a lady's head by the state of her handbag.
You can always tell the state of a businessman by the state of his desk. And mine is hanging. It's hanging. It's just, I don't even know why I got all the stuff I got on you. I think it's been here for months.
Yeah, we've got mints and nuts and stuff.
I mean, torches and, you know, I got maps, compass, you know, I got all kinds of measuring tapes.
I am lost.
I know, there's all kinds of things going on here, listeners. So my desk is just...
We've even got a magnifying glass, like my nan used to have. Like,
well, I'm trying to find my way, you know.
You're a dark lover, yeah.
And if I need to, I can make a little fire out of it, do you know what I mean? I'm in a mess, and we need to get on with the show here. We need to go, because listeners, thank you, you know. And, you know, just think about it. And why we have shared this with you, as Deb said, the importance of your surroundings, the importance of the people that bring the measure to those surroundings is important to how you think and basically your own well-being in life. It's really important to make this happen. And talk about well-being, we have an amazing guest with us today that lives in the world of well-being, lives in the place of consciousness, lives in the place of memory, reminding, history. All these things fall into his business.
Yeah. And compassion and peace. As well, a lot of peace comes in this business.
I mean, I'm a massive fan of niching a business, but there is no further in life that I could niche this business other than where it is. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those, and I think, darn it, I've come to an end. I can't niche this any further because you can't.
No, you can't.
There's no.
It's all bespoke.
There's nowhere else to go, is it?
No. You've never had that. You've never had a business that you couldn't niche in.
No, you beat me at my own game. You did. Absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're going to introduce this amazing guest that we got here. So let me do this. So I met this amazing man. I mean, he's very close to Elvis Presley because he's an amazing haircut. And I met this amazing man, you know, through business, and we got to work together.
Actually, I think it's more Garth Brooks. I'm not so sure that it's, you know, Elvis. It's more Garth Brooks.
Well, he has. I mean, if I had hair, you know, would you be happy if I was flicking my hair about like that? I mean, it's right down there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I always wanted long hair, but it never made sense to me. You know what I mean? So here's the thing, listeners. When I met this amazing businessman over time. We got to work together. We got to spend some time together. And I really got to really understand his business. And it's absolutely unique. So let's bring him into the show so we can talk about what he's done here, what he's doing, and let the listeners get to understand how amazing this opportunity is to, you know, get to experience this man's product. So here we are, and what a name, eh?
I know, I'm waiting for you to do it.
You know, here we go. Let's bring him to the show, the amazing, the beautiful, hair down to his shoulders, Thomas Sean Garbutt Davis. I knew it, man. Thomas.
Hi, both. Thank you very much for welcoming me into your show today. It's great to be here. My business is called Ashes to Life. And that is exactly what we do. We bring people's ashes into their lives, into the lives of the living survivors. So we create bespoke handcrafted jewellery, which incorporates the ashes of the lost loved ones into a stone, and that brings the ashes into the life.
Wow, now what a pitch.
Yeah,
I mean, man, we didn't even get to ask any questions. You just pitched straight in. You think, you know what, let me get it in there while the listeners are still listening.
After our intro, they might not be. Okay, so bespoke handcrafted jewellery with ashes of your loved ones. I mean,
isn't that unique?
It's just so beautiful. It's lovely. It's like, do you do dogs as well?
Yeah, we've had dogs. Dogs was the first one I ever did, actually, because it happened a bit out of accident. In a previous life, I've been a carpenter. And as part of the carpentry, when my father-in-law retired, he got some wood turning chisels. And I fancied having a go at that because that's part of the carpentry I'd never done. So I started making things out of wood. And ended up going to making pens out of wood, high class fountain pens and the likes. Nice. And then I went to a show and they were making them out of resin. So I started making pens out of resin. And I got a bit into it and realized that I could make my own resin, my own colors for specific types of pens, make it really bespoke. And one day at the end of a resin pour, a friend of mine was with me and I just had some resin left over. He said, "What are you going to do with that?" And I said, "Well, I make little things with it, trinkets, or I do whatever, put modes out. And he said, "Oh, could you, you know, what can you add to it? What can you put in it?" Because he'd seen me put in a couple of dried flowers and things in them to make various artifacts, ornaments and likes. And I said, "Pretty much anything." And he said, "Bro," he said, "can you put my dog's ashes into it?" And I turned around, and at the time I realized he was completely serious, because I didn't know what was happening. I thought, you know, what's happening here? I looked at him and I realized his dog had only died recently, and he was really close. He used to bring him over regular. And I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem. What would you like?" And we came up with a paperweight. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing I ever made. So it was dog's ashes that got me into this and made me think about it more.
The reason why I asked is because my two dogs are my children. They're just absolutely my children, and I'm dreading anything, you know, the days that happens. But yeah, because I think animals are just as important as people, aren't they?
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, the niche of this is so unique that effectively, you know, a whole family can have a unique piece of jewelry
out of the same person, where you
are carrying the memory, you know, a solid piece of memory of that person in your day to day life forever.
Yeah,
it's something unique that gets passed down the family. You know, that's what's so beautiful about this product, Thomas. And
it's got a long life, isn't it?
And for you, you're in that market where you're dealing with emotions. You know, you're dealing with people grieving, but also wanting to keep a memory alive. And that's where Ashes to Life come in then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the main thing for me is the feedback I get. So the emotional feedback that I get when people open these pieces of jewellery, and that emotional feedback, I just can't express in words how gratifying and satisfying it is to get that. That means more to me than the business side of my business, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That craft side, knowing that I've helped someone that is grieving and missing someone, create and help that bond. So with family, with one family, I did end up making more than one piece of jewellery. And at first it struck me, oh no, it is, you know, how do I feel about this? And I realised that every person has relationships with those people close to them. So every person deserves a bit of that person.
Yeah.
And that is what they do. They attach the emotional fingerprint that they have onto that piece of jewelry.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is, in essence, what helps. It helps loads of things. It gives them closure. It brings peace. It's like what you said at the start. It's so, you know, loving to see that. And they send me videos back of when they first get it. And it's I can't describe in words. I'm really sorry that the emotions that I receive from from seeing this.
Yeah, we can imagine, you know, just by the way that you're talking there. But also, I think you're right that, like, everybody has a different relationship with that one person. It's not everybody's got the same relationship. So maybe, you know, if they've got their own bespoke, you know, jewellery for each family member, then that signifies their relationship with them.
So is there a process, or, you know, let's say I lose Deb.
Oh, no, you're not. I'm being buried, so you might have to have my hair in jewellery.
Well, let's say you lose me, because I don't mind if you stuff me ashes in a bottle, no worries. Okay. So let's say that you lose me. Deb comes to you. Because I'm guessing, like I say, this is a pretty unique process, because, you know, you're dealing with an ingredient that is effectively that what's left of that human being when they were here. So, you know, what's the process that we go through then if we come to you? If Deb comes to you with my ashes?
Okay, so, the first thing is people get in touch. We send out a collection pack, which, you know, has in it like a little collection tool, a pot, a little booklet showing how and what to do. That gets sent back to me. And I try and find out as much information about the person that lived as possible, so that I can make something truly bespoke.
Oh, wow.
So I know, for example, you, Paul, I know you love mountain biking. I've known you for a while. I've seen you on Facebook. I follow you a bit, and mountain biking is everything to you.
Oh,
so yeah. I would speak to Deb, you know, is there a specific color mountain bike that you liked? I can make a stone that color. You know, is there a specific place that you went? Maybe I could add something in. Say you'd like mountain biking on a specific beach. Maybe we can get some grains of sand from that beach.
Wow.
The design of whatever you went for, would it be a pendant or a ring or a brooch or an ornament, you know, what would you want? So say you went for a ring, we could put maybe like the shape of a mountain bike cog around the edge of that ring and include some extra stones around that that were plain stones, you know, so we could include maybe his birthstone stone or something like that, something that was bespoke to him, maybe your birthstone as well. So that really brings that ring into your life by saying it's part of you and a part of him, and it lives on through you.
That is so much more than I thought.
Isn't that awesome?
I thought you were just going to have some jewellery, put a little bit of ashes in there. You're done. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's so, so bespoke, isn't it?
And this
so
is
personal.
Yeah, this is what I think makes us different to other people that have been out on the market, that have done something similar to me, is that, you know, we really go for the design side of things. We really don't just make a bespoke bit of jewellery, but something completely and utterly not found on the shelf anywhere else in the UK. Wow. You can, or the world for that matter. It is truly a one-off bespoke item.
That is incredible. I mean, I'm guessing then, Thomas, there's a lot of work going into creating this one-off design, you know?
Oh, definitely. It's a significant amount of work. It's not just me involved. My beautiful wife, Gemma, as well, she does a lot of the design work. She's from a design background. So, you know, working with her, she opened my eyes as to what could be involved. And obviously, I had a great business coach as well who helped me through that process of learning, you know, really going into depth on the business, on, you know, looking at it and how could I improve it and how could I make it more bespoke and how could I make it the best that it could be. Yeah. And that's what makes it so gratifying as well. When I do this with, you know, with people, it's not just something that they've, you know, ordered somewhere and that's the end of it. Mm. It's a complete process that we offer.
Wow. So it's a full experience then from what is initial contact to the opening and the experience of, you know, the opening of that package and everything that comes with that.
Oh, yeah. And it's the emotional experience. I mean, it's a journey for both of us. It's a journey for the person that buys it off me. It's a journey for me as well. And what I've realized is every single journey is truly unique and bespoke. And some people are overjoyed and other people are hit with such emotions that, you know, everyone's crying in the room.
Wow. I mean, listen, listeners, this is hugely exciting. And we're going to come back. We're going to come back to Thomas now in just 90 seconds. And really, we're going to get his contact details. How do you get in touch with Ashes to Life? This is going to be coming straight after this commercial. Happy days.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Yes, we are back in. We are back up and running. Of course, we are with the amazing, let me say it, Thomas, Sean, Gabbett Davis, if that's correct. I mean, who has so that many names in one go?
Say, we've always been toying with the fact of Paul McEnroe-Reece.
Yeah, well,
McEnroe-Reece.
Okay, well, we've toyed about it. Maybe we just put it in there then when I move into the office.
Well, I think so because, you know, it was, we're the last in the line. My dad was the only boy that had children, so we're the last in the line with the McEnroe name, and it's a pretty cool name, you know?
Okay, well, let's look at that.
All right.
For the meantime, we have, of course, this amazing Thomas Sean Garber Davis with us. I'll just say Thomas for short. And of course, we have this fantastic business called Ashes to Life.
Ashes to Life.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful. Thomas, before we go any further, can you throw out the contact details? How do we get you? What is your website? What is, just throw it out, whatever, email. Whichever way it is, we can get hold of you.
Well, the best way, find me on Facebook or Instagram, ashestolife.uk. You can email me at tom@ashestolife.co.uk. And you'll find our other contact details on Facebook as well. You can phone me direct if you want, and more than happy to take phone calls. I say the majority of my work end up doing phone calls or WhatsApp video face calls, that type of thing.
So we have a landline. Do you want to bring that out? Or
yeah, please. That would be 01656 511016.
That's okay, great. I recognize that code. Where is that code? Bridgend?
That is Bridgend, yes. It's a local code, and it automatically sends it to my mobile as well. So if I'm not in the house, I'm down the workshop making, we'll pick it up down there as well.
Perfect.
Listen, we're going to let our dogs out here because they're in the studio with us, listeners, and they are not helping the situation at all. So out goes our French bulldog, because I think the wind has blown the wrong way out there, and our little Cavapoujon is just resisting. So Debbie's going to get it out. But here we are, you know. Let's throw this out again. Ashestolife.co.uk. Yeah, ashestolife.co.uk. That's where we are. We're with Thomas. And this unique product is where, listeners, you have the opportunity to take the ashes of your loved ones, built into a very unique bespoke piece of jewellery or any kind of item of sort that will hold those ashes in and keep that memory, that person alive in your life through what is something you can wear, see, hold, place, whatever it may be there. But that this is such an amazing, heartfelt business product, I will say, Thomas, for sure. It is. It's uniquely fragile, may I say, in the sense of, you know, you are working with people in that unique place, or where they're at that place of end-of-life grief, but also at that place where they can maintain the memory of that person moving forward. Wow to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's unfortunate. A part of life, we're all going to be there one day. We're all going to pass through, and our bodies are here. And people have said that the emotional connection they get from wearing that piece of jewellery, you know, it's phenomenal. I love seeing it where it's the closure aspect is sometimes what is, you know, quite obvious to me. They get it and they phone me up as soon as the package has arrived and say, you know, thank you, it's here and everything like this. And it's the finalization quite often. They see that and it's like a load of all the emotions is hang on that piece of jewellery. And being able to provide something that is totally and utterly bespoke and unique to that person, it's an honour for me to be able to provide that. It's an honour for me to work with their ashes. And, you know, it's something that we take really great pride in.
Yeah.
We've just found out that we're going to be awarded the National Association of Jewellers Award as well. So we're going through with that.
Wow.
There's, we're really happy with the progress. So we've built a solid foundation in this business to make sure that, you know, everything is monitored and audited internally, and we're looking at external audits soon as well. If people want to see their piece being made, we're able to do that at the moment as well.
Wow.
So people can see that, you know, it's their ashes going into that piece of jewellery. They're able to monitor that themselves if they wish.
I love that, Thomas, because, you know, there is that element of trust that has to be there, because you are dealing with, as you say, someone's ashes, and, you know, wanting to be sure that that is going into that piece of jewellery is an essential, perhaps, for some people because of how much they are grieving during that time.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And that's why we decided to go along that route. Someone was interested in watching me make a piece of jewellery for them and watching their ashes being converted. I'd never come across it before. So I said, yeah, no problem. So we started videoing me, and they saw me incorporate it into the stone. And then they saw me incorporate that stone into the jewellery as well.
Wow. So does it matter where I am in the world? You know, here's the thing is that, you know, you are an international business.
We are currently, we're only able to offer it to the UK due to the law that exists. So we are just selling internally in the UK, but we are looking at selling to other countries as well, not America at the moment. But okay. there is that ability to be able to cross-border sell, mm-hmm. Which is something that we're looking into. There are certain things that we have to sign into. Anywhere in the UK. So we've just sent a piece off to Scotland that was received a couple of days ago, and massive feedback on that. I think that's something that we shared on Facebook lately. And it's great.
Is there a lot of red tape then in, you know, let's say someone from America wanted an item made. What is the issue sending ashes over, or is there legalities?
Yes.
Because this, I'm interested in this.
So there is, unfortunately, to move human remains. So not so much with pets, but to move human remains, you've got to have certain certificates in place. To move an amount. So one sort of loophole is to ensure that you comply with the red tape is to ensure that you have a small amount under that. I don't need hardly anything in the way of massive amounts of ashes. If you imagine we're trying to fit it into the stone that sits mm-hmm. inside a ring or a pendant. So we don't need massive amounts. And I go through the ashes. We use a filter and we get the ashes that are best suited for our process.
Yeah.
Out of, we only need a teaspoonful. And so getting the ashes to me is currently the problem. Sending them out in a ring or a piece of jewellery after that, that's not an issue, really. So that's where the red tape lies. But throughout the whole of the UK, including Northern Ireland and parts of Europe, we are able to get ashes from all of that now at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be great if it became open to the world for sure, because, you know, there are millions of people out there. I would, you know, if anything happened to you, God forbid, Deb, I would definitely have.
No, you're not listening. Yeah. You have to have my hair in the ring.
Yeah, we can do hair. In fact, we've got hair at the moment. So the great thing about my business is we use resin. We use a type of resin that's not commonly found on the marketplace. And
excuse my ignorance. What is resin?
It's like a form of plastic. So we can make windows effectively out of my resin.
Oh, wow.
You could make whole windows out of it. And that, I've seen that happen. You know, like the river tables that you see in certain places where you've got two pieces of wood and the river flows through the middle?
Yeah, yeah.
It's resin holding that together. So it's transparent. You can put colourings in it. We regularly use volcanic dust of different colours. To supply, which we incorporate into it to make it a certain color. So we've got like all different color reds and purples and greens and blues and yellows, grays, whatever color you can think of.
Yeah.
We can generate that color from something called micro.
You know what I love about this, going back to part of our earlier conversation where, you know, you said to Deb, well, if Paul has a particular park in the world that he loves, and we could have, you know, some of that earth from there. So there's my ashes. There's what I love. There's the shape of the ring. And probably, you're right, it would be a bicycle cog, you know, things like that. I'm like, wow, that is so absolutely unique. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's absolutely...
That's what you mean. I was thinking just ashes into a nice piece of jewellery, but...
It's much more, eh?
No, the fact that it's so personal is what makes it so much more, you know...
And, you know, I don't know how new this is to the market because, you know, I only know your business. But this is so unique, Thomas, for sure. It is so unique. It absolutely is. It's and for many, it's such a carry on of happiness.
It is. It's like you've honored them.
Yeah.
You know, there's an honor.
Yeah.
Honor in your person in it, isn't there?
It is honour. I mean, the way I'm looking at this as well is I've been in touch with a couple of funeral directors lately who, you know, have come to me and we've spoken about people who are clients that have passed on and the likes. But they've also said we're in touch with insurance people that do funeral plans. And so there are people that would like to leave a part of themselves for future generations, but in a way of not just being an urn. So they're looking at signing me up to some sort of where they pay me now to create a piece of jewellery ready for a stone in the future. So it's there ready to go. So the person that's alive gets to decide what the jewellery is that they pass on.
Wow.
So that's something that has literally only just happened in the last couple of days.
That is so bad,
isn't it?
Yeah, it found me. I didn't even think about it. And I thought, wow, okay. So you could right now cut a piece of your hair off, Debs.
Yeah.
Send it to me and I could make that piece of jewellery right now. So it's a picture of you pair right now that you look at each other and think, right, this is that moment in time and it's immortalised forever. So you could say, you know, we met somewhere. We went to this place. This is where we met. This is what we want in our piece of jewellery.
Wow. 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 I mean, wow.
It's like your mum can go do that. Your dad can go do that right now.
It's absolutely amazing. Thomas, you know, I'm so stoked.
I'm getting emotional about it.
This is
so great.
ashestolife.co.uk. There it is, listeners. I'm going to say it again. ashestolife.co.uk.
Because you never know. I mean, you know, one of my oldest friends, I've known her about 40 years, you know, her husband just passed away really unexpectedly, just one morning last week, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so you never know.
Yeah.
So having that kind of thing in advance is great because you know that your person had an input in it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very uplifting, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I mean, what it's doing, it's uplifting. The celebration of life. That's what this is doing, Thomas. It's just fantastic.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I'm actually jealous of your business. I have to say, I'm very jealous.
It is very unique.
But you're also quite driven because, you know, we've got here that you learnt to fly and went solo at age 17.
I did, yeah. So
we were still drinking in pubs at that point.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, I think I might have been drinking in pubs as well. But on weekends, I joined Air Cadets. And I was always fascinated by aircraft at a young age. And I was determined that I wanted to fly and learn how to fly. So I joined Air Cadets. I went up in a couple of chipmunks with engines and the likes. And then I got taken down the gliding school. And I fell in love with gliding.
I'd love to glide.
So I was 15 years old when I had my first glider flight, and it was amazing. You know, it was so enthralling being pulled up on a winch, and I just thought, wow, I want to do more of this. So every chance I had, I'd be down the gliding school. And then at the age of just before I was 17, a place became available on a course which was happening the following summer, which would mean I was 17. So I applied for it, and at first I was told I wasn't able to get on it. Then someone fell out and I got my place. I learned to fly, and before I had my driving license, I was flying around solo in an aircraft.
Oh my goodness.
And I loved it. And I took it further and did my, it's called basic glider training. Then went to my advanced glider training. And I was on to become an instructor, but I went out to the French Alps and mountain biking, and I fell off a bit of a mountain bike, and see, Paul, it's a dangerous thing, man. And I broke my wrist, and unfortunately then I failed the medical to continue with my flying experience with the RAF.
Oh, but that's such a shame.
Yeah, well, yes and no, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have gone the directions I did.
Exactly. So, because you also ran the London Marathon.
I did, yeah. So I think I was 21 when I did that. It was a pub. It's always a pub, isn't it?
It's always a pub.
At that age. And somebody said to me, "You're so unfit, you couldn't run 5 miles. And I turned around and said, "I bet you any money I could run the London Marathon," which is in like 12 or 13 weeks' time. So the next day he phoned me up. And he says, "I've got your space on the London Marathon, but you have to get a load of charity money raised." So I got in touch with a couple of friends of mine, and we went round and we raised a good amount of money. I ran the London Marathon, and boy, did it hurt! I had 8 weeks, which I took it serious of preparing for it, and I was proud to do it. I raised the money for charity. It's all good events. So I've learned that never, ever, ever dare someone or dare myself to do something, because
was it 26 miles?
26 miles, 385 yards.
Wow.
And those 385 yards are the most painful 385 yards I've ever walked.
Wow.
You know, Thomas, you've always been a driven person. You know, when you look at your history here, there's always been a drive in you, you know, in whichever business or whatever product or whatever trade you worked in, you always give it your best. Because I remember hearing about you before I met you, because you were doing landscaping someone's garden, a very good friend, yes. F9 Films. And he was telling me, Andrew O'Leary was telling me about yourself, because you was doing the work out his back, if I'm correct.
I was,
You know, I knew you bits and bobs before that, but I was hearing about the quality of what you do before I met you in this way, as much as I know you well, because, as I say, I've been very fortunate to work with you and been coaching with you and things. It follows you in everything you do. Because, you know, you work with horses.
I do, and I still do a little bit of work with horses. So horses have been a big part of my life. My parents regularly tell my wife and whoever they meet about the time they remember when I was 2 years old, and I was sat in front of the telly watching the scalp hunters, and I was crying, and it wasn't because they were killing people, but because that when they were riding the horses, they were using whips to make them go faster. Horses have just been a massive part of my life. At the age of 13, I went on my first ever ride along a beach down in Ogden-by-Sea.
Nice.
And it was great. And I realized that horses can cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invented ways to be able to ride for free. And later on in life, I got injured quite badly, not via horses, but from various things in my life. And one injury put me in hospital, and I ended up having physiotherapy. And later on in life, my dog hurt his back. He broke his back, and he needed physiotherapy. And without it, he would have had a really, really terrible quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, I went through a divorce, and at the end of that, I thought, you know, I've worked hard all my life. I've made lots of money, but I haven't done what I wanted to do. And what did I want to do? I wanted to help dogs, help horses, and help people. That was in my heart. It's always been there. And the way I could help animals was by treating them with physiotherapy. That's the only way I could think and know how to do it. So I trained up to become a veterinary physiotherapist, and I started treating horses and dogs. And I still do a bit. I was treating the police horses for a number of years, South Wales Police. And you know, the horse, it really speaks back to you and lets you know that you've helped it in a way. And, you know, you're going along and the horse is holding its head up and it's just ignoring you for a bit of time. And then all of a sudden you find where its problems are, and it looks at you and as if to say, oh, OK, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you help to fix those problems by doing myofascial release work or other bits and pieces on it. And you're able to show people the difference you're making by the way the skin and the horse reacts. And at the end of it, they're licking and chewing and nuzzling you. And it's a phenomenal thing.
Animal.
Yeah, mine too. Well, I've got a couple of horses which live with us. And actually, I was on a Zoom call once in the other room, and a horse came in. Into the kitchen, stuck his head around the corner. It's like, oh, sorry, I've got to go. It's tea time. Got to go and
feed them. Wasn't that a TV program, or did I dream it? Horse in the House. Was that a TV program?
Where do you come up with these things? I mean, hey, I'm all for it if there was.
I don't know. It might be a dream. I might have made it up. But well, I think it's a horse in the House.
Well, here's the thing, listeners. We're going to jump into our final commercial year. We'll be quick 90 seconds, and we're going to jump back with Thomas, of course, and dive back into the veins of his life, the amazing ashestolife.co.uk business, and everything else that's come out of this man's A-list mouth. Happy days.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, yes, we are back in and we're up and running. Of course, we are with the beautiful, the amazing Thomas Garbutt Davis.
You missed Sean.
I know, but you know what? Sometimes you just don't need the whole lot. But, you know, of course, we've been diving into Ashes of Life and the whole veins of the business and everything about it and how absolutely amazing it is. But here's the thing. Behind every good man is an amazing woman. Always. And just as we were in the commercial, of course, the lovely Gemma, the better after this person, walked in the screen. We said, just jump in and say our bee to everybody. So Gemma, thank you. Thank you for coming in. How are you, love?
All right, thank you. Hi, everyone.
Do you know, it's never easy, because when you're in a business, especially as a couple, you know, it's hard work. Me and Deb have worked together for 20 years now, and we know and we know it's not easy. But for as a married couple, as a, you know, being there together, running the business together, you know, do you sometimes find it, God, maybe we should do our own thing? Do you sometimes think, oh man, really? Am I really having to work with this man?
Oh, absolutely. He drives me drives me crazy. But it's all worth it in the end. We both got the end goal in sight, and we both feel passionate about it and bring in sort of comfort to people. So it's something that we both feel passionate about.
I love you. You are. You're both a very unique couple in what you're doing and what you're creating. And I was only joking about that, you know, because I know you are very dedicated together. And what and the way that you merge the business using both your strengths is fantastic there. And, you know, and it is. And I just want you to know, though, without you, he wouldn't be who he is, for sure. And it's important. That recognition is important. I often say, I often say, you know, that I'm half a man without Deb, for sure. And it's very sure that it's the same year. But, you know, Gemma, thank you. Thank you for being there behind him and making sure that he's aligned. He's aligned.
Yeah.
Sure.
But,
in front of him. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
It's right. Yeah.
But listeners, you know, I just wanted to bring Gemma in there and thank you, girl.
No problem.
it's a really beautiful business. It's really, I get emotional when we're talking about it. It's absolutely so wonderful. It's not just bespoke. It's not just, you know, it's comfort and peace to people. And it's
amazing. It is, yeah, definitely.
And what was the drive? What's your drive with it, Gemma? Do you feel that, you know, when we move forward in the business, are you like, you always want to be a part in it, or is it, you know, you're just sort of pushing it up in the front and let him get on with it, or you're going to be always steering him?
I think he is an entrepreneur by heart, so I don't think he needs much pushing. But yes, I am involved in it, and my background is in design. I come from a textile design background.
Yeah.
So I've always had an interest in design. And a long, long time ago, actually, I sort of dabbled in a bit of jewellery. So it's come back to me, I guess. But I'm designing, pushing him a little bit, maybe a bit of marketing here and there. But definitely, I think we've both got the same kind of interests. So we can kind of help each other, really.
It's fantastic we have this power couple here, you know, that, as I say, designed this unique product for people to be able to carry on the feelings they have for those people that are passed in life by wearing that unique piece of jewellery, item, brooch, whatever it may be there.
Yeah.
It is. It's huge, isn't it?
It really is.
And, you know, I mentioned an internal auditor earlier. Gem's the internal auditor. I just pass things by her. If it passes her, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Quality control.
The detail.
She's the critic. The meant to be positive critic, is it? No, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Or what about this? And
I'm always questioning him. I only want him to question things a bit. So I always push him a little bit, and sometimes he takes it a bit to heart. And I'm like, no, I just want the best for the business. You know, I want the best for the customer. I want the best for the business.
Well, you should take another wage for quality control, really.
Yeah, I definitely do, me.
I love that, though, Gemma. I love that you're in there and that you insist. Because when we're making something, you know, and when we have someone we can trust to bring that value of quality control in and, you know, and nudging the essence of the design and bringing more potential to it. It's fantastic you have that balance between you both. And unique, may I say.
And I also like the fact that, you know, you can get his feelings hurt a little bit or whatever because you've put all that time and love into it. But, you know, that you're confident enough in your relationship to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it's totally open. It's totally open. Every single article goes through Gem and she says yes or no, or why is it designed like that? And I'll say, well, the customer wants it like that. Are you sure? And I end up getting back in touch with the customer. And, right, are you sure you want this? Yes, right, okay. But at least I know that it's firm and that's what they want. Yeah. And then it means it's definitely 100% exactly what the customer wants at the end of the day.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
It is. You know, this has been such an interesting show. I knew that it was going to be something amazing. I've known Thomas for a long time and Gemma I've met a few times for sure. What's that?
I just want to say this is a sentence that Tom sent to us, which I love. We talked about life successes and how achieved. And he says, I learned that contentment is not achieved through money, but through expectation and seeing the joy already established.
Look at that, eh? We have a wise man here with us for sure. It is, it's beautiful. Let me say it, ashestolife.co.uk. Let me say that again,
ashestolife.co.uk.
That's where you want to be, absolutely. And this is a global radio show. It's going to create a reach out there. It's going to reach people's hearts. And they're going to be getting hold of you for sure. And you have to work out now how it is you're going to work with America and Canada and all these places. That's not my problem, Thomas. That's yours. You figure
thank
that
you very
out.
Much. I think
you'll be passing it on to me now. Jen, yeah. You deal with that. I'll just go and make some jewellery.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? So my mum passed, 6 years ago? And I have bits and bobs of hers. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what, just stuff. Is there any way that I could get any of that? I know I'm not even saying what it is, but, you know, anything of somebody's that's, you know, not ashes that you could put into jewellery.
Yes. Yeah, sure. I mean, so we've currently got a lock of hair on its way to us. And that is being put into a piece of jewellery for someone who managed to save the lock of hair of their lost loved one. I can't go into any more detail.
No.
But that is going into a piece of jewellery. So, you know, My gran, when she passed on, I didn't get any of her ashes or anything like that. But what I have got is a trinket from her house that's tiny.
Yeah.
And I've put that into, or I'm putting it into a piece of resin that's just going to be an ornament. But it's something a little bit more, you know, to look at than the trinket that exists. Wow.
Good. So I could tell you what I've got of my mum's and what could be put in a jewellery, even though she's been passed for 6 years and she was buried. So there's no ashes or anything.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Anything at all. And we can make something. We can design it into a piece of actual jewellery as well without any resin, if possible, where it's hang on like a pendant or a locket. So we do that as well.
Wow, this potential is endless, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it is fantastic. I think what we wouldn't fit into a piece of jewellery is your ego. But I'm sure, we wouldn't get that in there, definitely. All your attitude.
That is just projection. I'm not taking you on
board. This has been fantastic. And it's been an amazing show. Gemma, Thomas, thank you ever so much. And Gemma, especially coming in on the end there, which probably was the best part of the show. Thank you for coming in there. You know, listeners, until this time next week, you know where you need to be. ashestolife.co.uk. Get hold of lovely Thomas and lovely Gemma. And I will say to you, have an amazing week. Always love those people who are not with us and who are with us. And I will catch you, of course, this time next week. And bye for now. And boom! Emotions are